Well, good morning, everyone. To those of you who are visiting with us, thanks for coming this way, and we're glad to have you as our guest and hope this will be the start of something. And thanks to those of you who call Golden Corner Church home for being faithful this morning. I just really appreciate that from the depths of my heart. The Bible teaches that life is a journey. Now, with that in mind, I have a question for you. How would you describe your journey? I'm going to give you three options, okay? Option one, running from God. So running, what do you mean by that? God obviously wants something from you. Maybe he wants more from you. And it's something you're unwilling to give, so you've made a decision that to the best of your ability, you're going to keep as much distance between you and God as you possibly can. Option two, returning to God. You're on your way back to him. Maybe you've recognized the direction you're going is not the direction you want to go, and maybe you haven't made it all the way back to God, but you've turned, and that's your intention, is you want to reconcile with God. Option three is walking with God. I mean, you and God are thick as thieves, and every day of your life, you're just walking hand in hand with him. Last week we had some folks who recognized that they were running from God, that every day of their life and every step of the journey was actually leading them further and further away from God. And they made a decision. We're going to change direction. And rather than running from God, it's time for me to be running to God. And I made those folks a promise that if they would come back today, I would show them the way back to God. And so I'm going to be answering a question this morning. And that is, how in the world do sinful men and women ever make their way back to God? I guess another way to word the question is, how can runaways reconcile with God? Well, first of all, reconciliation requires help. Nobody makes it back to God on their own. Somebody has to help each and every one of us reconcile with God. I want to illustrate what I'm talking about here with a story found in the New Testament book of Philemon. And I shared with you last week that the book of Philemon is actually a letter written by a man named Paul while he's incarcerated in the city of Rome for teaching and preaching about Jesus. Now, it was no ordinary letter. God led Paul to write the letter and then gave him every word as it was to be written. And why would he do that? Because his letter was going to become part of God's word, the Bible. Now, he wrote the letter to a man named Philemon. And just what was the purpose of the letter? Now, we're going to read most of the letter together in just a few moments. But before we do, I want to set the stage and tell you what is happening. For some of you, if you were here last week, the first part of this is going to sound a little bit redundant. Just hang with me, okay? Be patient. Philemon had a slave at one time named Onesimus. And Onesimus was, I'm quoting the Bible here, not judging him. You got it? As a slave, he was relatively useless. Irresponsible, useless. In no way measuring up to his potential, useless. And one day, Onesimus made a decision that he was going to sever or terminate his relationship with Philemon. In other words, I'm no longer going to be a slave in his household. I quit. I'm out of here. You say, Ronnie, did he have that right? Absolutely not. In doing so, he actually broke the law. I'm not going to be a slave here. And so he made a decision. He's going to run away. He's going to go to the city of Rome. And he had to have some money to do this. So he wronged his master again by stealing from him and using that money to finance his escape effort. And Onesimus ends up in the city of Rome, 1,200 miles from his hometown. And as I shared with you last week, I think the idea was, it's such a large city there, I can just kind of get lost in the crowd. So you think about this, Onesimus is now in Rome, Paul's in Rome. What are the odds they could ever meet? I'll tell you, slim to none. But in spite of the odds, these two men meet and develop a friendship. You say, how could that be? You think it was a coincidence, Ronnie? Absolutely not. I think it was an act of providence. You know what that means? We use the word providence to talk about God making something happen without calling a lot of attention to himself. And I believe that he made sure that Onesimus' path crossed that of Paul, and these two guys became friends. How'd that happen? Kevin, I really don't know, but I just know that it did happen. Paul developed quite a fondness for Onesimus. And I believe that he began to pray for him. I believe he was concerned about his spiritual well-being. So he prayed for him. He prayed that he would be saved. And in time, Paul began to talk with Onesimus about spiritual matters. I believe he talked to him about Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? Did you know that he came? Did you know why he came? Did you know what he did? Do you know why he did all that? He did that, you know, for you, and he did it because he loved you and he loves mankind. And now, because he did all this, here's what he has to offer. I believe he went through that, all that with him. I believe there were times when Paul said, well, let me tell you my story. Here's who I was. Here's what I was like. Here's what I did. However, one day I had an encounter with Jesus, and here's what he did for me. Here's how my life has radically changed. I believe the time came when Paul said, you know, Onesimus, I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. Let's get straight to it. I'm worried about you. I'm concerned for you. I want you to have what I've got. I want you to have everything Jesus died to give you. I want you to be saved. And here's what you would have to do. What do you think? You know what Onesimus said? I think I'd like that. I think I'm ready for that. I want to be saved. And right there in the prison, the Apostle Paul led Onesimus to Christ. And the Bible said his transformation was unbelievable. It was obvious, night and day. It was clear to everybody that knew Onesimus, he's a new guy. He wasn't so absorbed with himself. He didn't just serve because he had to. Now he served people because he wanted to. It wasn't just about him. It was about others. And he began to serve the Apostle Paul while he was there in prison. I guess you could say he became his assistant, his associate. And the relationship they had deepened even further until it was more like a father-son relationship. I tell you, Paul loved him and he loved Paul. And I'm sure that Onesimus looked at Paul and said, what a blessing that our paths crossed. It's a blessing to have you in my life. And let me tell you what Paul thought. You want to talk about a blessing, son, it's a blessing for me to have you in my life. As far as Paul was concerned, he didn't want the relationship to ever end. That's what a blessing Onesimus had become to him. And at some point, these two had a conversation. I speculate on this as to when. But I know they had the conversation. I think sometime after Onesimus' conversion, Paul may have asked him, Onesimus, where are you from? We've never talked about your past. I've told you about mine. Where are you from? Onesimus said, I hail from a little town in Asia called Colossae. Paul went, Colossae? Man, I got a great friend who lives in Colossae. Named Philemon. By chance, did you know him? Onesimus said, yeah. I served as a slave in his household. Can you just hear Paul go, really? How'd you end up here? I ran away from him. And to top it all off, I stole from him before I ran. And I used his money to get here. Now, I'm not proud of that, but that's what happened, and that's what brought me here, Paul. I think this plagued Paul. In my mind, I picture him tossing and turning that evening in his little cot in the prison cell. And I tell you what bothered him. He recognized at that point that it wouldn't be right to keep Onesimus with him. This is, listen, in that culture, Onesimus still belonged to Philemon. He was his property. It wasn't right for him to be living like a free man when he wasn't a free man. He knew. Paul said, everything, you know, for him to stay, and that's what I want him to do, man, it's just not the right thing. This can't happen. And then he's thinking, you know, and man, Onesimus really wronged him. And the right thing for him to do is go back and make this right and make full restitution for what he took from him. And I believe it was soon that Paul had a friend named Timothy show up. And not just a friend, he was Paul's protege. And he said, Timothy, I need you to help me with something. I need you to take out your tablet. I need you to take out your pen. And I'm going to dictate a letter to you, okay? And so picture Timothy getting ready there. He's got his paper and he's got his pen. He says, okay, fire away, boss. And that's where we come to Philemon chapter 1. And if you'll just look, remember it's one chapter book. I start to say chapter 1, verse 1, Philemon, verse 1. You got it? There's only one chapter. And I think it's going to be on the screen behind me. I want you to read the letter with me, okay? You kind of, if you want to, just imagine that you're Timothy and you're taking dictation. Paul said, write this. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, one of the things I'm hoping is for those of you here last week and those of you here today, I'm hoping you're starting to see where I've been getting my information. Paul says, Timothy, write this. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon. What a wonderful thing to say. Because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother. For your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Now, he's kind of going through the pleasantries somewhat, you see. He's getting down to the purpose of the letter, and I want you to see if you can identify it. That is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. You looking? You carefully reading that letter, see if you can find the purpose? Verse 10, he said, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. Was this Paul's son? Not in the flesh. Look what he says. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. In other words, I led him to Christ. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past. See that? But now he's changed. He's very useful to both of us. I'm sending him, you see that? Back to you. And with him comes my own heart. I love this boy. Oh, I wanted to keep him here with me while I'm in these chains for preaching the good news. And he would have helped me on your behalf, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. Why, I remember he's Philemon's property. But I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. You know, I believe now he's trying to help him see kind of the big picture. He said, it seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him, what's that word, back forever. He's no longer like a slave to you. He's more than a slave. For he is a beloved brother, especially to me. And now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So he's told him, Onesimus has been saved. Now, you got to see these next verses. They're critical. You with me? You still reading? You still reading? Good. Listen to what Paul said here. It blows my mind. He said, so if you, Philemon, consider me your partner, welcome him, Onesimus, as you would welcome me. That's big. He said, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. At this point, the Apostle Paul took the pen and the pad from Timothy and said, this next couple of sentences, I'm going to write in my own handwriting. He said, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. You see in this next? I will repay it. I don't care how much it is. I don't care what it is. I'll cover it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. What was he talking about? He had led Philemon to Christ. And then he hands the pad and the pencil back to Timothy and he said, finish this up for me. He said, write this. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. Even more. Now, I want everybody to kind of whisper a quick prayer. Okay, you ready? Because I'm about to take you somewhere, and you got to hang with me, right? And I don't know what else is on your mind. I don't know what could be you're thinking about, but I want you to pray. God, help me block it off, because I got to hear these next words. I got to hear them. Did you pick up on the purpose? Paul wanted Philemon to do him a favor on behalf of Onesimus. Paul wrote the letter in an effort to help Onesimus and Philemon reconcile. Now, why was this letter necessary? Why didn't he just say, Onesimus, go home. Go back to Philemon. Make things right. There were obstacles that prevented Onesimus and Philemon from reconciling. If this runaway slave was ever going to make things right with the master he had wronged, these obstacles had to be taken out of the way. And that's what Paul was hoping to do with the letter. Paul wrote the letter in an effort to remove those obstacles and facilitate this reconciliation. What obstacles were there? There were three. The crime or crimes in this case, the law, and the debt. Onesimus had really committed crimes against Philemon. They were very real. He had broken the law, and he was under an obligation to the law, but he was also under obligation to make restitution to his master that he obviously now owed a great sum of money. These obstacles presented a real problem, and what did Paul see as a solution to the problem? Now, here's a statement. You're gonna tuck this one away, okay, because it's going to be big next week. Paul saw substitution as the solution. You with me? Paul saw substitution as the solution. In order to remove these obstacles and solve this problem, Paul was willing to get involved and help out. He was going to make himself a substitute for Onesimus. In the letter, he told Philemon that he would take Onesimus' place. He said, and literally I quote, let me find that. If he, Onesimus, has wronged you, Onesimus has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to me. Put that on my account. In other words, Paul said, consider me to be the one that offended you, the one that wronged you. Consider me to be the guilty party, and I will assume full responsibility to cover his debt. And he would go on to say, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. Take this to the bank. I'll repay it. In order to reconcile with Philemon, Onesimus needed someone to step in and help him. And that's exactly what Paul did. Paul volunteered himself to take Onesimus' place. And in doing so, he took care of the crime, he took care of the law, and he took care of the debt. Paving the way now for reconciliation to take place. But Paul's willingness to be a substitute did not stop there. Paul made another request to Philemon. He said, so if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul not only asked Philemon to consider him to be the guilty party, he also asked, would you please consider Onesimus to be an innocent party? This is what he asked. Philemon, will you consider him to be me and me to be him? And when you do, would you welcome him as you would welcome me? Paul saw substitution as the solution, so reconciliation required a little help, and that help came from Paul. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Come on, good. We're wading into some deep stuff, but I promise you this. By next Sunday, we're going to wade right out of it, and you're going to go, I got it. You know what you're going to say? I not only got it, I see it. I see now the way back. Reconciliation required a little help, and that help came from Paul, but reconciliation required more. Reconciliation requires a little faith. Man, it was great on the part of Paul to step in and offer to help. And I'm sure the letter he had written was going to be a lot of help, but just writing the letter wasn't enough. That letter had to be delivered to Philemon. Now, who was going to do that? You guessed it, Onesimus. Onesimus had to travel 1,200 miles back to his hometown and hand deliver the letter to the man whom he had wronged. What was it going to take? A lot of time, probably a couple of months. It's going to take money. It took money to get to Rome. It's going to take money to get home. And practically speaking, it was going to take a lot of time and a lot of money, but this journey was going to require something a whole lot more important than time and money. This journey was going to require faith. You ask, faith? Yeah, faith. Onesimus was walking into a frightening situation. Philemon had every right to have him executed, and Onesimus knew that. To return to his master, Onesimus had to have faith in Paul, faith in the letter, and some kind of faith in Philemon that in the end he would do the right thing. He had to believe that this was going to work, and he had to believe so strongly that he was willing to stake his life and his entire future on it. So what'd he do? Once again, let's use our imagination to picture a conversation that had to have taken place. One day, Onesimus shows up to visit with his father in the faith, his great friend Paul. I kind of think that maybe he picked up on the fact that something was eating at Paul. Something was bothering him. He seemed to be 1,000 miles away. I can hear Onesimus say, Paul, is there something wrong? Maybe Paul began to weep. He said, yes. Son, you know how much I love you. I love you like a son. You know that if I had my choice, I would want the two of us to remain in this relationship for the rest of our lives. I hope I'm a blessing to you, but man, I can assure you, you're a real blessing to me. However, you can't stay here. You see Onesimus go, what? What do you mean? You got to go home. You got to go back to Colossae. And you got to make things right with Philemon. You're his property yet. You are not a free man, and yet you're living like a free man. And son, it pains me to tell you, this is not right. And you wronged him, and you took something from him that wasn't yours. And now you're under an obligation to do what's right, and the right thing is you got to go back, and you got to reconcile with him. That's what you've got to do. Man, I hear Onesimus object. I can't. I can't do that. I broke the law multiple ways. I'm a wanted man. If I go back, they're going to execute me. Paul, do you understand that? I hear what you're saying. I understand your reasoning. But I can't or I'll die. I believe at that point, Paul pulled out an envelope. And on the front of the envelope, it had one word. It was a man's name. It said, Philemon. And he said, I understand everything you just said. And so that's why I'm willing to help you. I love you. I love him. I want to see the two of you reconciled, so I wrote this letter to him. And I believe that when he reads it, he's going to forgive you and take you back. And son, You're going to have to trust me on this. You're going to have to trust the content of this letter. And you're going to have to trust Philemon. You know the kind of man he is. He's a good man. And in this case, it's got to be more than words. You're going to have to demonstrate your faith with action. You got to take the letter back. It's your call. In my mind, I see Onesimus studying the floor just like, dear God, I didn't expect this. He knows it's a critical decision that he's making. I believe he looked up at Paul and said, okay, I trust you. I trust what you've done. Give me the letter. And in this case, I'm going to trust him. And at first light, I'm starting back. I imagine there was a tear-filled goodbye. Maybe Paul prayed with him and assured him, I'm going to keep praying for you. But Onesimus had to backtrack 1,200 miles and go back home. And probably within a couple of months, he made it. In your mind, will you picture that scene? When Onesimus comes walking back onto Philemon's property. Now, in my mind, I picture Philemon inside maybe taking care of the books. He's drinking a cup of coffee. And one of his other slaves burst in the house and said, boss, brace yourself. You're not going to believe what's happening. Perhaps Philemon's like, what? Onesimus is back. He's coming up the driveway. Now, in my mind, I can see Philemon kind of bracing just a little bit. Like, how dare him? After all he, maybe I dare him. After all that he did to me, you know, what in the world could he be wanting? And I almost see him grab the cell phone and run out on the porch, and he's just about to call the authorities. Maybe when something in his mind said, wait! Just a minute. And Onesimus comes walking up. Now listen, he's not cocky and he's not arrogant, but I got to tell you, he's feeling a degree of confidence. It's kind of a humble confidence. He's confident in that letter. He's confident in Paul. He's confident in Philemon. And so he walks up and he said, look, man, I know you can do to me whatever you want. You have a legal right. But before you make a decision about my future, before you decide what you can do with me, I just ask one thing. Will you read that letter? Will you read that letter? That letter was written by an old friend of yours named Philemon. And he asked me to ask you, please, before you decide my fate, to read the letter. Would you read the letter? Onesimus demonstrated his faith with action by taking the letter back to his estranged master. Reconciliation requires a little faith, but it requires more. Reconciliation requires a little forgiveness. Yeah, Paul had helped by writing the letter, and Onesimus had the faith to deliver the letter, and now it was all up to Philemon. He had a decision to make. He could give Onesimus what he deserved, or he could show him mercy. He could hand him over to pay for his crimes, or he could pardon him. He could punish or forgive. Would you kind of venture back into your imagination and try to picture Philemon at that moment as he tears the end of the envelope and he takes the letter out and he unfolds it and he begins to read. Now, you and I read most of the letter there a moment ago. Think about what Philemon must have been thinking and feeling as he read it. You know, one of the first things he read was Paul telling very graphically about Onesimus' salvation and how radically it changed. And I believe Philemon had already looked at Onesimus' face and recognizing, man, there is something different about him. You ever seen somebody so transformed by Christ that the first time you saw them after the conversion, you could tell something had happened? I remember going to Praise Week one year. And Lynn and I walked up behind Kyle Levere and his dad, and they were standing there talking. And Kyle turned around and spoke to us. When he turned back around, Lynn said, Kyle's been saved. I'm like, what? She said, Kyle's been saved. I said, who told you that? She said, nobody. Look at his face. Look at him. I believe that's one of the first things that Philemon had noticed. There is something distinctly different. And as he's reading this letter, he begins to understand. I'll tell you what's different. He accepted Christ. Can you imagine the kind of joy that he felt? Because I promise you this, that for years and years and years, Philemon had prayed that this man would be saved. And now he's coming to understand that his prayers have been answered. I got to believe he's getting all jacked up. He's feeling a lot of gratitude toward God. And And he continues to read, and he reads what Paul is saying. I love this man so much that I'm willing to step in and take his place. I'll take credit for his crimes, and I'll assume responsibility to pay his debt. That's how much I love him. And I believe he was so moved by the amount of love Paul had for him. I believe this old man began to weep. I believe he looked up at Onesimus, he's standing there, and I understand the kind of faith that it took to come back into these circumstances, knowing that there was a price on his head, knowing that he had a date with death, and he would trust this mediator and trust this letter and trust Philemon enough that he would travel 1,200 miles to come back and walk into that situation. I believe he was moved by Onesimus' faith. I believe he realized something standing there. I've never had an opportunity quite like this. May never get another one. I've got an opportunity to act like the God I know, the God I belong to, and the God I love. I've got a chance to act like him and extend mercy and forgive. So, Ronnie, what'd he do? Well, we're never told what he did. However, I believe it's safe to assume that he chose to be merciful toward his runaway slave. You say, why, Ronnie? What makes you think that? Something Paul said to Philemon in the letter that we read. He said, Philemon, I know you. And I know that you would do what I've asked. And even more. Even more. What do you suppose Paul meant by that? Apparently, Philemon showed mercy and grace to Onesimus, which means he didn't give him what he deserved, but rather he gave him everything he didn't deserve. Evidently, Philemon read the letter, chose to honor Paul's request, forgave Onesimus, and received him back, not as a slave, but more than a slave. He received him back as a brother, a family member. Now, get back to our scene, and there's a... Excuse me, man. I love this story. It's getting to me. This is not the head cold getting to me. This is the story getting to me. Picture Philemon standing there. He's read the letter. And he realizes he's got a decision to make. Very quickly in his mind, you know what he did? I believe he looked toward Rome, and for a moment he considered Paul to be the guilty party and transferred all responsibility for the debt to him, taken care of. He looks at Onesimus. And he considered him to be Paul, his close friend, his partner. I believe by this time his wife, Aphia, had gathered. Maybe Archippus was there. Maybe some other slaves had gathered around. They're wondering, what's going on? I believe by this time Philemon's face is wet with tears. And he looks at Onesimus and said, here's my decision. I forgive you. From this point on, I will consider everything that's happened between us up to this day as though it never happened. You don't owe me anything. You don't have anything to make right with me. I'm canceling the debt. I'll never bring any of this up again. And I'm going to welcome you back. Not necessarily into my home as a slave, but into my family as a brother. I can see the two embracing, two grown men standing there weeping, sobbing. And in my mind, I hear Philemon say to Onesimus, come in and have a cup of coffee. I want to hear all about your journey. The end. Now, some of you are probably thinking, Ronnie, that was a cool story, but what on earth does it have to do with us? Before I answer your question, I have a question for you, and I'll soon be over. Why do you suppose God wanted this letter in the Bible? A man wrote a man about another man, and God said, I want that in my eternal book. Thousands of years from now, I want Ronnie Hodge to read that story. I want Ronnie Hodge to read this letter. Why would God do that? If we read and reflect on the book of Philemon, we'll discover lots of practical truths that we could apply to our lives just as we would read and study any other book of the Bible. However, I believe the value of the book of Philemon might be the story within the story. You hear me? I think the greater value of the book of Philemon is the story within the story. Embedded in the book of Philemon is a clear illustration of the way back to God. Look carefully at the three main characters, Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. Do they remind you of anyone? What about Philemon? Could he possibly remind you of God the Father? Someone who had a person in their world that was supposed to be serving them and pleasing them, but rather wronged him? What about Onesimus? Do you see us? We chose to wrong the one we belong to and run from him. And in the end up far, far away from him. What about Paul? When you look at him, do you see Christ? He willingly made himself a substitute so that Onesimus could be reconciled with his master. Do you see the illustration? So back to your question, what does this have to do with us? This story illustrates what it takes for sinful human beings to be reconciled with God. Did you see that? Reconciliation requires a little help, a little faith, and a little forgiveness. Come back next week, and I'll show you how your story can end like Onesimus' story. I'm going to show you how to reconcile with the Master whom you have wronged. You promise me you'll be here? Huh? I'm going to hold you to it. If you're not here, I'm coming hunting, looking for you right after church. You got it? Boy, thank you for paying careful attention. I think most of you are starting to see, oh, I can see where he's going. Good. Next week, it'll be crystal clear. Let's pray together. Lord, I don't want to give away where I'm going, but I am going to say this. I thank you that at the very height of my flight away from you, my path crossed the path of my mediator, Jesus. And that he saved me and reconciled me with you. What I would have been missing out on if that hadn't happened. I thank you that you love runaways. And that you love them so much that you're constantly searching for them and calling them back. And that through Jesus you made a way, you opened a door wide open where runaways could in time run right back into your arms and into your family. God, we're all on a journey, and I'm speaking with somebody here that's beginning to recognize that. And I think they've been turning back in your direction. And I'm just wanting to kind of be the guide here. And illuminate the way. Keep working in their heart. I pray they'll be here next week. And I just pray that everything comes through so clearly that someone takes those last steps back to you and they are reconciled. In the name of Jesus, we ask this together. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.